Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
Hundreds of thousands of people in Ukraine are being ordered to leave their homes after a dam was blown up. The country's government is accusing Russia of being responsible for the blast and say there's now a major risk of flooding. Meanwhile, Britain's Foreign Secretary, James Cleverly, has been in the country.
Even though there are drone attacks, even though there are alarms going off through the night, even though you know, Russia has tried throughout the winter to break the will of your people, the Ukrainian people keep refusing to be broken, yourself included.
An historic day at the High Court as the Duke of Sussex prepares to take to the witness box. Harry will give evidence in his case against Mirror Group newspapers. The trial is due to start today of a man accused of murdering Met Police Sergeant Matt Ratner. And Lewis Capaldi is cancelling all of his upcoming commitments ahead of Glastonbury to allow himself time to rest and recover. From Radio News Hub, I'm Edward Breslin.
I race for life for my mum, who was diagnosed with bowel cancer.
I race for life for my best friend, who we lost too soon.
I race for life for my dad, who's living with prostate cancer.
I race for life for everyone facing cancer.
Who will you race for? Raise money for life-saving cancer research. Sign up to your local London event at raceforlife.org and together we will beat cancer. In partnership with Standard Life.
Coming up, Africa in Focus.
Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
Africa in Focus.
Africa in Focus is sponsored by Dermadew Lotion. Visit dermashark.co.uk.
Colorful
Radio.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, depending on the time zone that you're connecting to us from. Welcome to Africa in Focus. I'm your host, Julius Mbaluto. And yes, we're coming to you all the way from the heart of London to wherever you are globally. And it's a wonderful time for us again to have another great conversation, of course, for focusing on Africa. And in this week, we are focusing again on the great country of Nigeria. Because we saw Nigeria go for elections. We saw a disputed election. But on the 29th of May, we saw Mr. Tinubu inaugurated, sworn in as the current president of Nigeria. Today, I'm joined by my great friend, Emmanuel Orufi. And always great. I just want to give him the chance to once again introduce himself. And yeah, we pick it up from there. Emmanuel, also say hello to our listeners. And once again, welcome to Africa in Focus.
Hello, viewers. Thank you for having me. My name is Emmanuel Rufe, consulting editor of the African Voice, and also editor of the Diaspora magazine. And into a lot of community work. So here we are. We've been on Nigeria case for some time now. So thank you for having me.
It's a great country. Especially most populous nation in Africa. You know, talking about huge population, and also it's not just the size of the population. Nigeria is known for so many things. Of course, we got wonderful novelists, writers, my favorite, from the Chinua Achebe to talking about Wole Soyinka, all of them. You know, we're talking about a country, of course, yes, we have seen Nigerians in diaspora making a lot of strides, being the first, doing great things. And they have contributed to this global world. Courtesy of Nollywood in Nigeria, we are able to watch some African movies while we're in London. How cool is that? So it is a great country. It is a great country. But away from the greatness, we just want to find out what's happening. Where are we? Because, you know, last time we were talking about, Supreme Court. Yeah, we'll be able to determine a lot of hopes for people like Peter Obi. And we thought The Supreme Court will say this guy won, and our Tinubi will be sent home. Here we are, stuck with it. What's happening? Just give us an update.
Let me just start from the Nigeria as a country. Nigeria is a country blessed with material and human resources. And the world knew that in Africa, if Nigeria gets it right, the whole Africa gets it right. So Nigeria is setting a kind of template in politics, in different structure of the economy, Nollywood, as you mentioned it, in writing, novels. So Nigeria is setting it's a model for Africa. So we all know that if Nigeria gets it right in politics, all the African countries also get it right. We've got the election has come and passed. Tinubu has been sworn in as the next president of the Federal Republic. We also know that there was a lot of electoral malpractices. But as we said the last time in our program, now the culture of politics in Nigeria is so abrasive that people want to get to the seat of power by all means. And if once they get there, they know how to use power. Power, the presidential system is a very powerful system. And the power is concentrated on the president. So every other thing is geared towards winning the presidential election. All the other elections just come as a sequence. Now, the cases are still in court, but as you know, the background to the issue is that Tinubu, Asiwaju Tinubu, was instrumental to putting Buhari in power for 8 years. So therefore, he said it's now his turn to inherit the post. In Yoruba, they call it Emiloku. So he placed the man there, which is for me, in real terms, it was Tinubu that was, well, I wouldn't say he was in power, but Tinubu placed his political player, is a candidate in power for 8 years. And so, therefore, he want to continue with the regime of the person he placed in power for another 8 years. Well, what is the achievement? The achievements are not, they're not good enough.
Before we go to the achievement, Emmanuel, is it really okay or even acceptable to say this man wields so much power? Like we are talking about Tinubu, 71 years old. We are talking about Tinubu, a former senator. We're talking about Tinubu, a former governor of Lagos City, and if I'm incorrect, correct me. But you know, having been to the echelons of power as a governor, he wants to be a president, but it's a national election, should it even feature Buhari versus Tinubu? Should it be their matter, or is it about a national election where all other candidates should have a chance and that the electorate should rule the day?
That is the ideal situation. The electorate should rule the day. The electorate should vote, and their votes should count. But you see, in this situation, people say, this is the worst election I've ever seen. The electorate cast their votes, then they're supposed to upload the results through beavers. But we know by now, we are all aware that these election results have not been uploaded yet. And in order to quickly place the man in power, they quickly swore him in without waiting for the tribunal to complete the outcome. So the cases are still pending in the court, and this will continue for months and months and months. But the man is already in power already. So
the question is, I know if we were to compare, for example, Nigeria and Kenya, the case of Kenya, the moment election has been disputed,
yes,
and there's a petition, no one can be sworn until the petition has been heard and ruled.
That's a classic case. That's a very classic case. Kenya, I think that's the first in the world, in Africa, where election were disputed, and then we saw the outcome and the rest of it. But it has never happened in Nigeria. Once the president has been sworn in, it becomes impossible for the opposition members to go to court and get this outcome reversed. It becomes really, really impossible because the Supreme Court, you are talking of the court, the Supreme Court lawyers, they are under the purview of the president.
Exactly.
They don't have that lever to overturn the election result. And also, you have to look at the political climate of the country. If for example, the election is overturned, I mean, the results are nullified and another election be conducted, there's going to be a political upheaval. So these are the things that the Supreme Court that look at the mere interpretation of the law. It's not a literal interpretation of the law any longer. You have to use mischief interpretation of the law. You go beyond the facts. The facts are there. The facts are there. Yes, there were election rigging and a lot of things. There are so many disputed cases. And I was shocked in some of the results. But they are looking, the judges would sit back and look beyond the result and see what will happen if especially the presidential result, the presidential election. Not just for the governorship, anything can happen, they can, but for the presidential election is the most important one. And so the issue of whether the electorate have the say, or people are saying it was a national selection, not an election.
Well, I agree with you on that because Emmanuel, in a progressive constitution, especially like in the case of Kenya, is no longer, we used to have probably the same, Kenya used to have the same framework whereby the president used to appoint judges, the president used to appoint the electoral commissioner.
Yes.
And that was very much compromising, given that the president may be a candidate vying to be a president. Extremely yes. compromising. We yes. used to have that, Kenya used to have that, and because of those being compromised, the system was changed. So in Kenya, the president doesn't appoint judges anymore.
Good. And that's a very good.
The president also does not appoint the chairman of the electoral body. Yes. It's independent bodies that do that, with also backup of them going to parliament to be vetted or in front of national TV. So that anyone who a judge took bribe from in the country wide can see them and say, I gave him a bribe, and that moment he's gone. So that's the beauty of the system there. It kind of talks about independence. You see, you have a point there. The Supreme Court, you think, oh my goodness, billions spent on the election. If we go back to another election, we rule for the country to go for another election, it's going to be so expensive. And in their own wisdom, they may think, let's just rule for continuity.
Yes. Continuity, yeah.
But that continuity, what does it mean in terms of democracy? A worthwhile candidate has been cheated.
This is Colorful Radio.
During life, your skin is subject to many conditions, leaving your skin rougher and tighter. We want to help. At DermaShack, our unique formula provides day-to-day moisture for all skin types. Our signature cream, DermaDew, is a cream that can be used for both specific areas of dry skin and as a daily moisturizer. So why don't you try our cream, DermaDew, an intense rehydration cream that leaves your skin like silk. Please go to our website, dermashack.co.uk, to see our skincare range and begin your journey into total moisturization. DermaDew, total body cream, complete moisturization.
Yeah.
Like in your case, Peter Hobby was a very promising candidate.
Yeah, Peter Hobby was a promising candidate, but when you look at the circumstances of the election, throughout that week of election, was a star. He was the star of the election. In fact, he was the main man for the election. So, or if for all the candidates, he won the election. I can say that. But at the end of the day, he was not declared the president. The issue of continuity that we're talking about is before the election, we see how Tinubu went around. He said, well-connected man, that's fine. is connected around the country, is well politically, socially. He has done a lot of inroads into the north and south. Yes, he's very well connected. He has done a lot. He knows the country very well. He knows the social and political climate of the country. So that's what they use the word continue. He said in the statement, in the inauguration statement, that he will continue with the Buhari regime and the policies. But what are you continuing? Well, you have high unemployment rate, high incidence of poverty.
Insecurity.
In poverty level, you have 133 million out of 200 million Nigerians into poverty. There's high level of insecurity, banditry, kidnapping. You have people are going through a whole lot of issues. On employment, it's about 40% high. And the GDP growth rate is lowest among all the previous head of state, the GDP growth rate. And then oil subsidy was a scam, which some middlemen were consuming millions, trillions, almost 6 trillion naira.
Yeah, we'll come to that. We'll come to the subject.
So those are some of the things, yeah. Now, as it is, from the first day of coming in, there's a whole lot of issues in Nigeria right now. There's no fuel. People are hoarding fuel. Cost of living has increased. So many people are trekking. There's anomaly in the land. So it depends on what he's going to do in the next 100 days to ameliorate the situation. That's what we are looking at. And meanwhile, the court cases go on. They are still in the court. Hopefully, they will be decided in the next few months. But we don't know yet. We have no clue.
Again, we were to compare again, Kenyan constitution extremely clear. Within 30 days, a ruling must be made. They stipulate everything, what should happen when, which I think is a very good formula. Because at the end of the day, you can't just leave everything to chance. And what I see as the greatest challenge here is the fact that you have sworn someone to be a president, is going to be sitting on the throne, is going to be on the reins of power.
Yes.
Do you think there's any court on this earth that can tell this fella, hey, we got it wrong, it's time to leave your seat? Do you think they'll be willing to leave that seat?
That's not possible. That's not going to happen. I know my people, I know my country very well. I know what's happened, political culture in this country, though it's not going to happen for now, because one, you have to look at the disparity of the votes. Tinubu got 8 point something million, followed by Atiku 6 point something million, followed by Peter Obi. So the disparity, the gap is there. Now you have to prove beyond reasonable doubt. If Peter Obi win the election, it has to be proved beyond reasonable doubt. Or if Atiku won the election, you have to prove, you have a gap of 2 million votes. So they have to go and get evidences. The evidence has to be very clear. The evidence has to be proven. You have to have 2,700 witnesses or more to prove the case. The documents have to be infallible. So those are some of the things the Supreme Court are looking at. You don't just go to court without evidence. You need to have some lawyers to prove your case. And this is, I remember the Buhari case, 2003, 2007, went to court. Buhari, the same Buhari went to court. And some of the court cases took 2 years. By then, Obasanjo have gone 2 years in the power.
Too late.
You're too late.
Yeah.
I remember one case of Buhari was decided about 6 months. It was decided 6 months to the end of Buhari's regime.
Pointless.
Pointless. So sometimes the legislative people say, okay, let's just leave it for now. Let's reform the electoral system. Let's improve on the Beaver system. Let's improve on the electoral. Now, the issue which you mentioned is on the independence of the electoral commission. Is there anything like independence or separation of powers and independence? I think they did it very well in Ghana. They did it very well in your country. The president should not be allowed to appoint the members of the independent electoral commission. Should not.
It
should
how be can, by. How can you appoint a referee in a game you are a player?
Yeah, you apply it, yeah. So, yeah, you can't appoint members for them to decide on your election, because it's only Jonathan, President Jonathan. He saw the whole thing. He appointed the independent issue. But when he saw the result, he quickly owned up as a great leader.
And it's not only just appointing, you also pay the referee. You appoint the referee, you pay the referee. You pay them.
And they cannot decide something else. But in the case of Jonathan, Jonathan owned up to the fact that he lost. And then that was it. He moved on. You don't want to spoil, cause or civil unrest because he lost the election. So sometimes they just look at it as the mischief interpretation of the law. It's not the literal interpretation. If you look at literal interpretation, a lot of people go to jail in Nigeria. So we're waiting for the tribunal.
It's just hope, you know, in life we should never lose hope. But I see it as a very tall order. I don't know.
It's a tall order, yeah.
Yeah.
It's but a tall order.
Away from our maybe pessimistic view, although it's not pessimistic, I think it's realistic more than pessimistic. What kind of leader is Tinubu? I see talks about him being senator. I see when he was governor of Lagos, he claimed he made some changes which were okay. Is that quite in order, or it's just maybe people making them, they'll feel a bit better because now he's a president?
No. It's not true that he made Lagos do it. Well, evidence showed that during Tinubu's regime, there were a lot of dirty surrounding. The environment was so dirty. Most roads were not, even till now. If you left a legacy in Lagos, but now you are going to be seeing a very beautiful Lagos state, with infrastructure on point, with good roads, good infrastructure, clean roads, and a good health system and everything. But don't forget that Lagos have been ruled by successful rulers. It's not the first. It was the first capital of Nigeria. And then Jakade was there. You have Governor Marwa was there. You have many. They did very well. So it's not just. But Tinubu. But what we also know is that Tinubu's regime, 7 years or 8 years in Lagos, was a transactional leadership. But they say, well, he did some transformation of Lagos, but I don't see the evidence, not really. Well, if you go to Lagos today, the roads are one of the worst in Nigeria. In terms of transformation, they say, well, okay, he built infrastructures, but he was his chief tax officer. He was the one collecting the tax in Lagos. The wife is in charge of market. So he practically owned Lagos. He called him the Jagaban of Lagos. So he was the one collecting taxes. The wife was the one collecting taxes in the market. So, but we didn't see the corresponding development. You must have growth and development. In any economy, you must have growth and then development. How were the people's life affected in Lagos during this regime of 8 years? Well, we know very well that he was, he helped a lot of people into politics, into power. He helped a lot of councillors, governors with his money and everything. He has a vast amount of money. Is very rich. He was able to, was able to bring the president to power, like Buhari. He was able to sponsor a lot of governors, senators to politics. So that's the development I'm looking at. So otherwise, I don't see it on the ground. Every governor in Lagos always do their best in Lagos. That's a credit to them. But he did his best So that's it.
Wow, Bola Tinubu. Let's hear what he had to say during the swearing-in.
All the excellencies, the head of state, presidents, and leaders of various countries here present. For your sacrifices and the supreme sacrifices you've made for this country, for the men and women, we thank you. And we thank you the way today is going well. Gentlemen of the press, distinguished ladies and gentlemen, my fellow citizens, I stand before you, honored to assume the sacred mandate you have given me. My love for this nation is abiding. My confidence in its people, unwavering, and my faith in God Almighty is absolute. I know that His hand shall provide the needed moral strength and clarity of purpose in those instances when evil it seems to have reached the limit of human capacity. Distinguished ladies and gentlemen, this day is bold and majestic, yet bright and full of spirit, as is our precious nation. As a nation, we have long ago decided to march beyond the dimness of night into open day of renewed national hope. The question is, and we must now ask ourselves, is whether to remain faithful to the work inherent in the building of a better society, or retreat into the shadows of our unmet potential. For me, there is but no one answer. We are too great a nation and too grounded as a people to rob ourselves of our finest destiny. The nation's journey has been shaped by the prayers of our founding fathers and other millions, and the collective sacrifices of us all. We have endured hardship that would have made other societies crumble. We have shouldered the heavy burden to arrive at this sublime moment where the prospect of a better future merges with our improved capacity to create that future.
Colorful radio.
Colorful radio.
He sounds like he went to study Shakespeare before the speech, but what we are hearing is in the past, most of it.
Yes.
For incoming president, I would have expected talk to us about the future, right?
Yes.
Through challenges, of course, slavery, colonialism,
yes,
banditry, yes, terrorism. Do you want to remind us? We've been there. Yeah?
Yes.
So we want to know what will the future under your rulership look like? I don't know. When you are listening, I'm listening. I'm thinking, okay. I don't know what you make out of that speech. I mean, it's longer than that, to be fair. But so far, kind of disconnected.
Yes. Well, listen to the speech. It's not that a fantastic speech. There's no charisma in it. It's not the Obama type of speech that will motivate people. When you listen to speeches of this type, every person should be motivated. Everybody say, yes, this is a sign of new beginning. Everybody should be saying, yes, this is a charismatic leader, a transformational leader. At this time, everybody in Nigeria is at the end, dim end of their wits because of because of poverty level. People are disenchanted with the election itself. People are not happy with the economy. This time around, we need sustainable development. Development that will gradually transform the social space or the economic space. Low unemployment, high unemployment. You have a debt burden. Nigeria is owing so much that it will take another 100 years to pay those debts, and we are still borrowing. So you see, the previous government left behind a whole lot of burden for this present regime. It just set him up. The man just set him up. I mean, the oil subsidy was removed by this regime, and it's causing hardship right now. The past government said they want to do a census. They could not do it. They remove oil subsidy. They could not do it. So this man is inheriting a debt burden which cannot be paid now. You have high prices of foodstuff. You have the war in Ukraine and Russia was supposed to lead to oil prices rising. Oil prices has really risen around the world. You see OPEC countries making money from the high oil price because of the war in Ukraine. But what of Nigeria? Zero. We don't see. Remember 1973, when there was a war in the Middle East, Nigeria made so much money that they don't even know what to do with it. Now there's a war in Ukraine where you're supposed to maximize the money from the oil well, from the we're not seeing any evidence of it in Nigeria. So the debt burden is high. The security situation has compounded the problem. Under the Buhari regime, almost 17,000 people were killed mercilessly. There was bloodbath under his regime, and he was so aloof. It was nothing because these acts were committed by people from his clan. He was very aloof. I don't know whether he even read a book throughout his regime. So,
yeah.
So this man, I'm just pitying this new president, because I don't know how he's going to go about solving 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 issues. You have debt burden, you have security issue, bandits and roaming around the street. We have issues concerning the election itself. The election itself, the issues around it, they are still extant. Then you have unemployment, and then, as we speak, the oil subsidy has been removed. The oil subsidy, people were creaming more than 6 billion of Nigerian money into their pocket by some oil marketers.
Now,
the oil market. So, as at yesterday, oil transport has exponentially, prices of transport has exponentially increased around the country, the whole country. Well, he made a deft move though, but it's overdue. Even Peter Obi support the removal of oil subsidy. So that is not a big thing, but in the short term, it's going to pose a lot of agony for Nigerians. So what I'm trying to say is that the Buhari regime of 8 years was a total failure, and has handed over this failure to this new man. So I was looking forward to a brilliant speech that will really get me off like the Obama speech, but what I'm hearing there is a lot of promises. But you see, in Nigeria, you can promise a lot. National Development Plan, almost 7-8 National Development Plans, very beautiful plans, but they've not been implemented.
So, Emmanuel, we've seen Buhari talking about ending of the subsidies. How important or how crucial was that? Was it a good thing for Nigeria or was it a bad thing for Nigeria? I know we touched a bit of on top, but maybe focus a bit more on it.
Over the years, the government have been paying subsidies to marketers. That is, Nigeria refined the take crude oil outside the country to refine, and then we have marketers now bring this oil in to the country, to the NNPC, and these marketers are paid money for transport and so many things. So this money under Jonathan's regime, they were supposed to remove the subsidy because it's like some people were making money from it. In Jonathan's regime, it was about 1.2 trillion, which they were paying to marketers to bring the oil, refined oil, into the country.
Now, 1.3 trillion naira,
yes. Jonathan was supposed to remove it, but these people were saying, no, they should not remove it. It's going to cause a lot of hardship. Nigeria Trade Labor Congress, they locked down the country until Jonathan gave up. Now, coming Buhari, the subsidy has increased. It's now 6.1 trillion naira.
Almost double,
more than double. Which they are paying to marketers to bring soil. And so these marketers, they are scams. They charge the NNPC. NNPC is in charge of managing the oil sector downstream also. Now, there's so much going on with the NNPC that, you see, they just pay bogus money to these marketers. At the end of the day, what we are seeing now is that the pump price of oil as at yesterday has increased when Tinubu decided that he has to remove the subsidy. So the pump, subsidy was supposed to make life better for the common man. Subsidy was supposed to reduce the pump price of refined petrol or premium oil so that people can be able to afford it. But we cannot, the country, I support this removal, but it came at a very wrong time. This was supposed to have been done a long time ago. And now, when you remove the subsidy, the 3 billion or 6 trillion you get, which are supposed to pay to these marketers, which most of them have been embezzling, it could have been used for other things like road infrastructure, education, health infrastructure, and so many things. So we see a lot of money have been going down the drain to some unscrupulous marketers within the Nigerian community, in collusion with government officials, with politicians, because they are linked with all kinds of marketers around the world, and they have all kinds of transport system in the ocean, which they use to import the oil. So they collect the money. They collect money free from the government. This one is a billion. So I very much support, although it's coming at the wrong time. But I think the money that was supposed to go for subsidy can now be used for other development, sustainable development purposes. So though it's going to really cause a lot of hardship for now, but if it is well implemented, they should increase minimum wage for all the workers. They should improve on the road infrastructures. They should improve on health sector. And then they should try and reduce corruption within the system. Corruption is a major, major issue. And I don't know how this man will be able to fix the corruption. Because all we are talking about subsidy is about corruption. Because subsidy is a correlation to corruption. How do we solve? Because the new vice president, Alhaji Chatima, said the subsidy is done by a powerful cabal within the government. Very powerful, very, very powerful. They have got a lot of money. So it remains to be seen how Ahmed Tinubu can be able to curb this corruption within the system.
This is Colorful Radio.
During life, your skin is subject to many conditions, leaving your skin rougher and tighter. We want to help. At Dermashack, our unique formula provides day-to-day moisture for all skin types. Our signature cream, Dermadew, is a cream that can be used for both specific areas of dry skin and as a daily moisturizer. So why don't you try our cream, Dermadew, an intense rehydration cream that leaves your skin like silk. Please go to our website, dermashack.co.uk, to see our skincare range and begin your journey into total moisturization. Dermadew, total body cream, complete moisturization.
Bola Ahmed Tinubu, the president. Now, of course, in one of these speeches, he's talking about that he shall govern on behalf of Nigerians, saying he shall not rule over them. He's talking about dialogue. You dialogue, not dictate. And you never look down or for those holding opinions contrary to his own or his government's own. Is that too good to be true, or is he a Democrat?
Well, it looks sweet to my ear. That statement looks very sweet, my God. But I will never obey any country. Never, even the ECOWAS court, but I never obeyed it. But I was one of the worst person in Nigerian government that obey court rules. Never obey any court rules. Nobody listened to anybody in Nigeria. When people are being killed, he was sitting there and asked wrong. He sent the Federal Commissioner of Police to Makurdi when 70 people were killed there. The man never went. So he never listened to people. Don't you read the papers? So if Tinubu is enlightened, he has a degree in accounting from Chicago University, according to him. We don't know his age. So, but if he listens to people, if he's a Democrat, he has been, I like him in those days when he was said, 1988, 89, 90 was really doing well as a frontline Democrat fighting the military regime. I think was arrested. So those regime, Tinubu was on point. But after some time, he became governor of Lagos State. He became a senator. Now, all that period, he has accumulated a lot about democracy. Democracy is about freedom of speech, freedom of expression, ability for you to listen to the people, the cries of people. That's what we've lacked in the past 8 years. Nobody listens to anybody. People are deaf to people's crying. But if he listens and is able to navigate opinions, see the opinion of what people are saying, read the papers, I think he will be successful at least 4 years. So he should be a listening leader, a transformational leader, charismatic, somebody not just transactional, although there are elements or good things in transformational leadership, but transformational. roads are bad. You know, if you just go to Lagos, he ruled for 8 years. It's just a mess. Lagos or the Niger Delta are supposed to be the Texas of Nigeria. But what we are seeing now is a big eyesore. So he should listen. He should perform exceedingly. And let's see how Nigerians can be happy with him.
So do you think he's promising too much and maybe will not be able to deliver?
He has to promise. He's a politician. He has to promise. Yeah, like promising is your politicians, they do promise. But they deliver, that is the thing. We have elections. The other parts of Africa, you have elections coming up in Sierra Leone, Uganda, and some parts of, they promise a lot, but they don't perform. So we are looking forward to performance now. Performance means you have to put in people in place to do the job. Well, the recent appointment he made is just rewarding the politicians who help him. I've seen that some are good, but you need to put people in place because himself, people are concerned for his health. That's one thing. If you can put people in place to do the job, I think he will go further.
Well, he's only 71. And African presidents now say Biden is older than them.
Biden is 80, but Biden was able to start for 90 minutes. When he was giving an award to the naval officers, but as he was walking away, he just stumbled over.
He's only human.
I don't know whether
for many years,
I don't know whether I'll serve it 1 year. We can stand for 90 minutes away, but
not fair, is it? So,
age is very important because for the country, a country like Nigeria is a complex country. Made up of diverse socio-economic interests, languages, ethnic groups. You have to be very physically fit and robust in your approach to the issues. Otherwise, people will start complaining. Salaries should be increased. ASUU was on strike for 8-9 years. Nobody said anything. Nobody was responding to them. 8 years of universities to be on strike. Sorry, 8 months to be on strike. Nobody listened to them. It is not the first time. It happened in 2021, and almost 7 times under his regime, university lecturers were on strike. Nobody listened to them. So, if Tinubu can listen, it should be a listening leader, making good decisions for the people. Decision that can improve on their welfare, decision that can improve on their housing, road infrastructure, and the health sector, especially the health sector. Can I tell you something for free? ASO Rock has a clinic which they invested almost, I can't remember the exact figure, almost $6 billion or more. But the president is still coming abroad for treatment. Why? Why should African president go abroad for treatment? They have enough money. Nigeria has enough money to give the president a good head treatment. Now, then we heard that the wife made a statement as if she's the minister for her that no president should go abroad again for treatment. Exactly. But the husband was here for many, many days, or months when he was the power.
It's so ironical, isn't it?
Yes, that you are leaving power. You are not saying, no president should go abroad for treatment again. Oh, we have already invested on the ASO Rock Clinic.
Wow, that's one of the challenges for our African states. And I think, yes, it's important for our countries to invest on health systems that work. But COVID told us it comes a time when the airspace is shut and no plane can fly. So if you never invested in your own country, ask yourself as a leader, you wouldn't be able to go to German from Africa for a mere cough, for a checkup. You wouldn't be able to. You wouldn't be able to fly. So it's better to invest on your own, you know?
Yes.
Just like in the UK, you never see the Queen or the King leaving the country to go for medical checkup. In the US, you wouldn't see President Biden going to German for medical checkup. I mean, we need to learn. Africans, we need to learn from these examples.
Yes. So what I'm saying is that as elections are coming up in Sierra Leone, I'm just reading about Sierra Leone. They don't even have the ballot box to vote.
Wow. They can just line up and be counted physically.
Yeah, just like.
And trust someone will not count double.
Because the man wants to be president by all means. There's no representation.
It is
so sad. In African countries, we need to wake up
to we a need lot to wake of up. Yeah. And to our listeners, as we wake up in Africa, we say it's about time to say see you next time, because that's all we have time for right now. It's been pleasure hosting you, Emmanuel. Pleasure as always.
Thank you very much.
We just want to wish Nigeria all the best. Despite the chaos, Nigeria is still a sleeping giant.
Yes.
And we want to keep on beckoning you to wake up, wake up. So the rest of the continent will wake up as well.
Yes. Okay. We'll get there one day.
We'll get there one day.
Yes.
Thanks a lot. Listeners, stay tuned for more programs coming to you from Colorful Radio. And that's all we have for
Africa in Focus.
Thank you. chief.
Chief.